Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool, pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR.
Come on, get up. Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, thanks for listening. I'm enjoying Joe deconstructing the Sabres poster on Twitter, taking little close-ups of each little name or number, analyzing it. Will there be a Sabres poster draft coming up? Maybe. It's been a long summer. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Matt Waldman on Twitter, at Matt Waldman. His rookie scouting portfolio is a must-read. And it's fun to read guys who've been in the league for a few years. Read back Matt's analysis of them as college players and prospects. So, Matt, great to have you on again. How are you?
Hey, it's my pleasure to be on. How are you guys?
Good. Hanging in there, right? Like, it's been an amazing year, not in a great way, but we're refocusing, trying to, you know, focus on what matters in life, right? One thing also that's kind of in the way is a fantasy draft where there are 1,600 picks, as there are in the football diehards draft. Is that a lot for Matt Waldman, 1,600 in one draft?
Yeah, you know, I've kind of tailored back ones I do. So, you know, this is kind of amusing to see our buddy Mike Dempsey over at Football Diehards trying to push this through. I kind of feel for him, but I'm also laughing at the same time.
Yeah, the names that get picked with still 15 rounds to go, Bulldog, they're funny.
I don't even know. Yeah, that's I can't even fathom. How long does that take?
Well, it started June 22nd, and
okay,
the last time I checked.
Stop talking.
The last time I checked the pace, it was September 1st. It was due to end on September 1st.
So we were in kindergarten when this thing started.
Yes.
Some of the players retired, but, you know, we're going to induct them in the Hall of Fame, and we'll get extra points for that. Yeah, so.
I speak for many of us. What else do we have to do? So why not have a 50-round, 32-team draft?
Matt, surely we want to get your thoughts on the guys the Bills picked and the NFL season and whatnot, but all the news happening and we're kind of bracing for maybe more bad news than good as it pertains to college football. How are you feeling about just all of this uncertainty, to say the least, that we're sitting with when it pertains to the football world?
Well, you know, the rookie scouting portfolio comes out every April 1st. So when this first started happening, you know, it was kind of like I'd kind of go into Hermitage to kind of finish up this book. And so it wasn't really rather new to me back in March, you know, that this was going on, other than that my wife was saying, you know, you got to go to the grocery store and get some things on the list that, you know, that might be preparing for a long haul here. So, you know, you kind of get out of that and you look around, and it's kind of the same attitude for me as it was back in hearing all the hysteria back in January, February, and March, which is kind of just take it one day at a time and try and control what you can control, and what you can't, just don't dwell on it, you know. And that's essentially what I've been doing since March. And, you know, unless the NFL goes bankrupt, which I don't even know, they may lose a lot of money if things get worse for, you know, the NFL in terms of their ability to put on a season, you know, with what I do, honestly, there's going to be a draft in 2021. It just means that there may be less tape to watch or no tape to watch in 2020, and I'll just rely on what I have, and everyone else will too. So there's no sense in worrying about that.
Yeah, interesting. Do you feel like the NFL will get through, Matt? I mean, we've been talking about this pretty much every day, get through the year. And I do. I mean, I just think how much money is on the line, you know? Maybe that's an unfortunate attack mode when trying to figure out whether something should happen or not, but it's the real world. I mean, I think football will find a way. Look at baseball with all the, you know, you've had outbreaks on more than one team, and they're pressing on.
Yeah, and I think that you've touched on it pretty well, which is what we would like to see in a perfect world is everybody to stay healthy, for us to take preventative measures and to be in a situation where we could have head this off at the pass, and that we could be, you know, that people aren't at risk. And you don't want to see anybody suffer any type of long-term or career-ending or life, you know, ending consequences to all of this. So, you know, I'm not, you know, there's really no great answer for all of this, because on the one hand, I mean, if they decided to cancel a season, I would be glad for the safety of the players. If they were able to continue with the season and find that what they had was players dealing with illnesses that didn't lead to career-altering situations, much less life-altering, you know, situations, then great. But yeah, I think they're going to try. I think that's the, you know, the pragmatic part of us understands that they're going to try their best until they're at a point where they're kind of at a point of no return, that if they continue to do this, that, you know, it's going to be more trouble for them on a number of levels than what it's worth. But I think the NFL has had the luxury of being able to wait. Many people will say, well, they haven't done anything, but the NFL hasn't really shared everything either, and they're still adjusting on the fly. One week with, you know, as my buddy Dr. Gene Bramble, who does the injury work at Football Guys and is a pediatrician in the Ohio area, would say, you know, every week, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks is a long period of time when it comes to adjusting to this situation. So, I'm open to the idea that it's going to happen. I'm not surprised really at any outcome that will occur, whether we have, you know, we try 6 weeks and it just goes awry and we don't have it, to the idea that we play through it. And I'm one of those guys that can tell you about that 50th round pick in your fantasy draft and he has a shot to be able to give you 100 yards on the ground, you know, against this defense that he's facing with a bunch of replacement players. So, I mean, it's kind of anything goes, and you just kind of have to be comfortable with the unknown. And that's essentially what, you know, I'm trying to prepare for.
Well, by the way, it'd be great to be able to ask you that advice, but we're in the same division, so I really can't do that as it happens.
Matt, as we're, like, you know, considering college football, at least some conferences, we'll see, you know, what ends up happening here in the coming weeks. But if we are without, like, the Power Five conferences playing football, and therefore those prospects for the 2021 draft don't have another season to put on tape, like, how challenging is that for, I know you said, like, I've got the tape that I've got and we'll just use that, and teams I would imagine would be left to do the same. Like, how challenging do you think a situation that'll be?
Well, we'll probably make it a more challenging situation dramatically than maybe it always is. There's going to be certain players where certainly you think of the Joe Burrows of the world and you might think, wow, you know, what if this had happened last year and Joe Burrow never had the chance to have the amazing season he did? He would be considered an intriguing prospect who showed some promise that might develop. You know, so a lot of what happens, and the kind of the, I would say, the uneasy truth that a lot of we see in this draft industry is that a lot of guys talk about players as if they've watched the tape, and then they don't really watch the tape until the end of the year. And they have researchers and people like that who give them nice little bullet point summaries, and they talk about these players, and then you see, you know, teams even react to that to a degree, at least scouts early on until they start watching the tape, where you start to hear these narratives. They're just built on things that aren't complete facts. So if anything, I would say there's going to be more time to watch the tape. And even though some players may have had a chance to improve more if they had another year, I think that there'll be there's usually enough that you can make a pretty good judgment about that player, and they don't change dramatically. Usually they don't change dramatically between junior and senior, or between sophomore and junior, other than maybe physical, you know, adding muscle, maybe getting a little quicker, a little faster, a little taller, that type of thing. But, I mean, I honestly, I'm not as freaked out by it as maybe some people are going to make it out to be.
With Matt Waldman, Football Guys contributor, staff writer there, also creator of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. You can go to his website, MattWaldmanRSP.com. You mentioned Mike Dempsey in this fantasy league we're in. I was on with him on Saturday night talking about the Bills offense from a fantasy standpoint. And I said to him, and we've had this conversation in here too with other guests, Matt, Moss is the player I want. I mean, I don't know if Allen can hit Stephon Diggs well enough to make that worthwhile. Brown and Beasley are good, but that's mitigated. Is Knox even 40 catches? What's Singletary without goal line work? Moss is the player I want. So
yeah,
take it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, Zach Moss to me, before the draft, before he went to the Bills, I've been telling people he reminded me of Travis Henry, but with skills on third down as a receiver and a pass protector. This is a guy in pass protection that literally they would just, Utah would leave him against the defensive end or an outside linebacker, and he could handle it. I mean, you don't see that very often in college football where they're like, yeah, you go ahead and block the guy coming around left end or the guy coming around right end and just handle him. And he does that. And in addition to that, you know, he is. He's a low-to-the-ground, tough runner who gets yards after contact. He'll take it to the defense. He has decent vision. He's someone that can make the cutback plays. He's not unbelievably fast, but he's quick enough to play the running back position. And that's the most important thing, is having that short area quickness and acceleration. He has that. He has unbelievable flexibility for a running back. So when you see him get hit at an odd angle, he has the ability to really bend in a way that you don't normally see, to stay upright and then continue down the field. To me, the Buffalo Bills offense is kind of like, you know, the old boxer Joe Frazier. Like, they're going to corner you into the ropes and just pound you. And I think that that's what they want to do. And Zach Moss, to me, has that Joe Frazier kind of mentality, in a way that while I like Devin Singletary and what he's done, he's a fun story. I could see Zach Moss in a situation where if Singletary gets hurt or if Moss continues to play really well, where he winds up being the lead guy and Singletary ends up being the change of pace.
Boy, this is why we love getting you on. Like, this thing about the blocking, I don't know how many guys we've talked to about the draft since April. It might be a few dozen. I don't know. It's the first I've heard of this blocking defensive ends thing. And, boy, I just feel like that is the sort of thing that coaches will just love. They can trust a guy. You know, doing it at the NFL might be a different thing, and maybe
right.
There'll be a margin for error there. But still, like, that's the kind of thing that gets you on the field ahead of the other guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, yeah, you're not going to ask him to block Justin Houston one-on-one, you know. But at the same time, he's going to be the fact that he could do it well in college against, you know, Division I college defensive end and outside linebacker, tell you that there's growth potential in his game, that he's going to be able to at least do a competent job if he has to be left on an island with those guys. But at best, you know, you're going to use him to help double team with a tackle or a tight end, or maybe pick up an inside linebacker on a blitz and really be able to stone that guy. And that's what you're looking for there. And then also the screen game, because he's such a good blocker, that it's going to be believable after he, you know, knocks the snot out of a middle linebacker on a blitz, that he's coming for him again, and then he ducks under, and there he is on the middle screen. And have fun with that, with him in the open field. You know, as everyone used to say about Travis Henry, was a bowling ball with you know, blades coming out of it. Well, Zach Moss is a similar runner, so it'll be a lot of fun with him on a screen play.
Can't wait to see that. Matt Waldman, our guest for just a few more minutes. Where are you on the rest of the Bills offense, or team for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think this team is a legitimate playoff contender. They obviously showed that last year. I love the mentality of the team. I think that, you know, it really comes down offensively to Josh Allen in terms of how much he can improve to make those decisions that are necessary 3 to 4 times a game that keep the team in it and not put a team in a situation where it's either he's kind of a sink or swim guy in those moments. Either he's going to do something incredible or the defense is going to end up having a big play off of that, and he kind of wins it or loses it for you big in one way or the other. And you want to see him kind of calm that down a little bit more, be a little bit more of a game manager in some of those situations where he maybe tries a little too hard. If he can do that, this team can go deep with what they have, because obviously the defense is a promising unit. They have a good secondary. They have some strong tackles up front. They've got, the young linebacker, their third-year linebacker, Edmonds, who's just, a really nice young player, emerging talent. And so this team, the way they've built it, complements each other. They just need the guy who's going to be able to make the timely plays at quarterback, those 3 to 4 times that can make a difference. And adding a guy like John Brown is helpful, especially, and then adding a guy like Stephon Diggs this year is, the way that you look at it, you hope that he can spread the ball around wisely to both of them. So I like what they're doing. It just does come down to, can they win in the postseason? And the answer is going to have to be, as cliche as it sounds, those 3 to 4 plays a week from Josh Allen.
Were you encouraged by his progress from year one to year two, Matt?
I was, but I would say that my level of encouragement was probably more tempered than most. And so I'm still waiting to, I kind of saw, and Bills fans will probably be a little upset with me, but I did a study a few years ago with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen from the pocket, and I said that people had it reversed. Lamar Jackson was the better pocket player. Josh Allen was more the running quarterback that people oftentimes characterize Lamar Jackson to be in terms of in the passing game. And I think that's true, even though they use designed runs for Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen, the team early on, as we knew, were kind of like, all right, we're going to let him drop back from center. If he doesn't make it to the second read and decides to scramble this year, that's fine. He's athletic enough. We'll let him do it. We're not going to try and, weigh him down with, pointing out every single mistake he made with reading coverage, and we're going to let him grow into it. And he made some strides, and there's moments where he does a really good job stepping up in the pocket and making the throw. But I still think, what I fear is that he still has that kind of let me try and go for broke, do too much type of thing to my game. And if he can, this is the year where he's going to have to show he can temper it. And if he can't, then I think that that's where we're going to see probably a little more criticism from him on an annual basis, and people will be fearing that he can't change. Interestingly enough, I worked at the University of Georgia for 10 years. I'm not a Georgia fan, but I've certainly seen enough of those players. And while Jake Fromm gets a lot of criticism, he's kind of a sink or swim situation this year with his arm. But he's a guy that, you look at the guy like QB school, JT O'Sullivan, former 49ers quarterback, who does great work on Twitter, talked about something that I kind of noticed as well, which is that they didn't really allow him to drop back. His drops didn't fit the type of throws they were going to ask him to make. So he was dropping back too far for these throws based on design, and that meant the ball was always going to come out late, so people questioned his arm strength. Well, he does have some questionable velocity, but it's not as bad as I think people think. But in Buffalo, you're going to have to prove it. It's like sink or swim immediately for him. And if he swims, let me tell you, Jake Fromm in a couple of years could challenge Josh Allen if Allen doesn't figure out that, 3 to 5 plays a game type of thing, because for Jake Fromm has that part figured out. If he had Josh Allen's arm strength, Jake Fromm would be a first-year starter in the NFL. He's that kind of, he's intelligent. He has good judgment. He can attack. He's good outside the pocket. He has really good ways to throw from different windows. Really savvy player. So if the arm strength isn't as bad as people think, don't be surprised if you see Jake Fromm be the guy whereas with Allen gives you 15, 17, 25 yards a chunk type of throw. Jake Fromm's the type of guy that would dink and dunk you all the way down the field on 13, 15, and 17 play drive and get you points, drive after drive after drive. And if it gets to that point, the teammates are going to see that, and that's where the scales could go in the favor of Fromm. But of course, if he can't show that he can make those throws, Matt Barkley obviously is going to be the backup this year, but if he shows he can't make those throws even in preseason, he might be gone as early as this year.
Some Jake Fromm hype should go down smooth around here on a Monday. It's just what we need. Very good. The Jackson piece you reference is one of my favorite pieces of football writing on the internet. And you even wrote in your super sharp, and I mean, I've been a Jackson fan, so is Bulldog. I voted for him for the Heisman twice. And then in that article, you're like, you know what would be cool for him? If like a team like Baltimore drafted him.
Yeah.
And I mean, how prescient. That's a nice little, I love reading that. It's a great job. All right. Thank you, Matt. Big fans here of yours. Love what you stand for, and can't wait to talk to you next time.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure. Glad to be on, and I look forward to it again.
Thank you. Matt Waldman and the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. Check out his thoughts on Zach Moss. I tweeted that article a few minutes ago, and he's just got, you know, an encyclopedia of write-ups on draft picks. And again, like, the fun ones are the ones that have played in the league for a few years now. And you can kind of look back and see how what he saw in players. Very good. I'm still distracted by Joe and the poster.
What is this now?
There's just so much to go through. I feel like I'm not even halfway done.
I love it. The Sabres, it's a big week for the Sabres with the jerseys and everything. They've got giveaways and a lot going on. We'll fill you in on that. And one of the things they've tweeted is a poster like about their history, references to events and people in their past. And Joe's picking out certain things. It's good. Some pretty good trivia in there. Also, I want to bring up something I did yesterday. First time I've done it in at least 10 years.
Admitted you were wrong?
Nope.
That's funny. Open up that meat that's been sitting in your freezer for a long time.
I did find a turkey. Right. I did find a turkey that's probably been. I think the turkey came over with the old house, Joe. I think it did. I admit I'm wrong all the time. When I'm wrong. I won't admit it if I'm not wrong, just to be nice.
Right, right.
You know, I'm not one of those people.
No.
So I'll tell you about what the thing is that I did that I haven't done for a decade.
Good.
I have to do it when I get home, too. Do it again when I get home. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. We've got football news. We've got the Blue Jays tomorrow. We've got the Sabres and the jerseys and the NHL playoffs. How about the Leafs? We're here for your calls. Lines are open now, 3 to 7 weekdays on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like, right around the time that happened, it was right around the same time that, like, the George Floyd and all of that was happening. So it's just, like, it really puts things into perspective. Like, that could have been me. Like, if I ain't just yes, sir, no, sir, and just comply, all it took was for me to move the wrong way or do something the wrong way, and that could have been me. So it just, it was tough, bro. But after that, I still worked out and everything. It just put it in perspective, like, you got to slow down. You got to watch your surroundings and stuff like that and try to keep yourself out of a situation like that, because life is real and life come at you fast. Like, I was on my way to the house. I didn't expect to get arrested. You never know, like, you could be doing anything and then life could just hit you. Just got to be careful, bro, life versus.
Okay, Ed Oliver there taking his turn on the conference call circuit, Zoom call circuit. Bulldog and I, and Joe was on the call, Bulldog. Did you know that today? I didn't see Joe, but he was on.
I did not see Joe, yeah.
Yeah.
How's that work?
I just got back from a run. It was
Des Moines.
Kind of a sweaty mess, and I didn't really, I don't know. I didn't want to put myself in front of the camera like that.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I see.
You know what I did?
I didn't feel in the right state of mind and everything to be in front of the camera. So
This was a call that we did, the guys here did, with a couple people from the Sabres about the new jerseys. So we've all seen the new jerseys. And tomorrow, right, is when they release them, reveal them to the public. Yep. 9 a.m. tomorrow. Yep. So we'll talk about the jerseys in a minute. But on this call, this is what I will admit to this. I had no plans to. So the Zoom call, it's fascinating to me. I see these people on TV, like anchors or whoever, Lebatard right now. Like, you get to decide, to a point, you get to decide what's going to be visible behind you.
Yeah.
Think of Adam Schefter, who has been reporting for years that way. He's got, like, a helmet behind him and books, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as somebody who loves to rank things and draft things, I want to prepare a room. I don't know why I have it, I guess, but it's like my mom saying that she wants to see this movie. Like, go see it. So I have not done this, but I love the idea of preparing a room that I would want people to see me in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of things that could go into it. Think of the Pegulas doing their Zoom call after they fired Jason Botterill, and, like, there was nothing behind them. It was kind of narrow, and I thought to I didn't ask anybody about this, not that, you know, I needed to, but I thought, oh, that's probably smart. You know, you don't want to be on the boat.
Right.
You don't want to be, you
set
know,
up like Cliff Kingsbury for the NFL draft.
What's behind the Pegulas? Oh, it's, you know, it's they're in Venice or something.
Right.
So they probably played it smart there. But, you know, I want to have a couple nice things and sort of maybe a statement or two I'd like to make, but not overdo it. Right.
Today was the first time. It's only the third. I think we've done two other ones, like within just work people, and then this one today. So it's my third experience on Zoom, and I don't know. Maybe it was because there were going to be people from outside of our working group. I thought, should I go somewhere else and do, you know, take this into account? And I said no quickly to myself, just don't bother, and I didn't. But I actually did have the thought today for the first time.
Well, what would that mean? Like, sort of to dress up your background?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, like you're saying, I could, you know, position my chair in the attic here and have the backdrop look, you know, I'd be, you know, just showing off. Like, hey, look at the guitars or look at the records or whatever. And instead, I'm just sitting in a chair in our living room with a window behind me that it really looks pretty nondescript. I mean, there's not a lot to the shot you're getting of me on the Zoom call. It's a pretty narrow shot, too, but I'm not thinking about anything. What do you know? I didn't ask Jeremy about this. I meant to text him afterward. What was going on with the background on his?
So he's got he played around with it before you got on. Like it's a you know, on the app.
Mm-hmm.
It's a study. The one button he had was a study, and it was just like books, right? Just stacks of books all across his screen.
I've been over there. I mean, I haven't been upstairs in their house. Well, I think I was when they first moved in. And I'm like, I don't recognize this room at all. Like, what is going on with him? So that explains that.
Right before we started, he changed it to this hall, this long hallway. It looked like Hogwarts. He's like, what should I go with, the study or the hall of uniforms or something, he called it. So, yeah, you can do that. I go outside primarily because it's beautiful out. That's why I do it. If I can see the screen, so I have to position myself to be able to see the screen. But what I was going to confess to was also because new people. This was not just like the work guys. This was a couple new people from the Sabres. So I got out there, and I knew I was going to be sitting in the sun. And I thought, I'm going to put my sunglasses on. So I turned, like Joe is saying, he did not want to be seen. I turned the camera off to hook up, but because I can't see with my sunglasses on.
Right.
So I needed to hook it up, and I didn't want to be seen. I wanted to put the sunglasses on. So I hook it up, turn the camera off, hook it up, and then switch to my sunglasses, and then now I'm just going to turn the camera on, but there was something else I needed to do with the screen, and I could not see the screen, so I abandoned that. Like, I had the sunglasses on for like 10 seconds. Like, this is dumb. This is so dumb. Don't tell anybody you did this. And so that was it for the sunglasses. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Okay, good thinking.
You know, I'm not going to tweet that.
Right.
You got to be listening.
We need sunglasses that you can see the screen through. We haven't come up with that yet. Or if we come up with it, it's not made its way to my house. Because there's no seeing the screen with the regular sunglasses on, at least for me anyway. I don't know.
So are we at liberty to talk about the jerseys?
I don't know. I don't know.
There's one feature that I wanted to ask you about, but I'm not sure it's allowed.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel like that we were given the go ahead to like describe them on the air to people or anything.
Well, they're out too, aren't they? Like there's been a leak or no?
I don't know.
There's been one report on what the logo might look like.
Okay, I'm going to take a chance. So, okay. I won't tell you anything about like what people will care about with the jersey, like the big stuff, because I'm not sure that I'm supposed to. But without saying anything more, like any details, I didn't know until, I'm not surprised by it, I just didn't really know about it, until today at this Zoom call about the Sabre jerseys, that there was a city flag.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with the city flag, the city of Buffalo
yes.
flag? You are?
Yes.
How so? Like, how do you know about it?
Jeremy and Molly have flown one off the front of their house.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Know if it's there all the time or not, but it is. It has been there when I have been over there. And I think his doing that might be. So I've not known about the city flag for many years, I don't think.
Okay.
I think when he started, flying it, I was like, oh, all right, that makes sense that there's a city flag. I just never really thought about it, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. There would be one, I guess. I don't know if Grand Island has a flag. Maybe it does. Does every township have a flag? Does every place have a flag?
I don't know.
But there's a city flag, and I guess so. Yeah, same thing. Sure. And I made the decision to mention that, thinking that, the Sabres might like sort of a little bit of intrigue about the jerseys that's related. Maybe not. Who knows? But I'm hoping that it's okay to have said that. So
yeah, and I think that what they've done there, and I won't say specifically what it is, but I think it was a really nice touch.
Yeah, that. Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So.
And there's a poster, and Joe is. We're gonna have to draft the poster.
We could have two drafts on this poster.
I gotta get after this poll. I've not seen this yet. I started scrolling through last break, and I never got to it. But
there's a lot to get through.
Well, okay. Well, maybe I'll just find Joe.
I've been at it for an hour. I'm still finding things on here.
Did you find out who Horn Man is?
No idea.
Bulldog, who's Horn Man?
Horn Man. And the only things around it are 39, but then there's Dominator, so it has no relation to Hasek. There's a double zero next to it, which I don't know what that is. I thought it might be Marty,
Baran.
But then there's no other Marty reference around the zero. There's a Zhitnik.
Yeah.
There's a little mini Zhitnik next to it, but I don't know what Horn Man is.
Horn Man, I think, Mike, I don't know if he came over to the arena at all, but I remember they used to. Do you remember? I think this guy worked mostly in Quebec, like at the Le Colisée. And he would go up and down the stairs, like the aisles of the bowl, playing.
Yeah.
I think that's Horn Man. That would be my guess. I mean, I don't know. That guy came to the Odd occasionally. Like they would, I assume, pay him like the way you would pay Ronan Tynan to come in and sing God Bless America. And they would pay the guy to come and do that. Like I remember that happening in Buffalo periodically.
Yeah, but it was not really their thing.
No, that's why. But that's the first thing that came to mind when you said Horn Man.
Okay. So I don't know what Horn Man is, but...
There's also the Saber Girl. I don't know what that is either.
Was it the figure skater?
That's what someone tweeted at me, that it was like a figure skater in the 70s that would come out before the games.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So that one is settled.
Okay. Saber Girl?
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty good. I mean, it's fine. Poster's cool. It's fine.
It's interesting how many people get more than one reference.
Yeah.
What's made bigger than the others.
Yeah.
Like at the very bottom right, like the smallest font on here is Seymour Knox III in the very bottom right corner.
Well, their name is big in the Buffalo.
I was going to say, they are meant – he's meant – yeah, they're big in the Buffalo, so.
Yeah.
But why the second Seymour Knox then? That's my question in, like, 8-point font.
I don't really want to ask that question. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm ready to sit down and pick at this thing.
Oranges is mentioned twice.
I see oranges twice, yes. I see that. I see aces and blades. I went to that. That made it. You know, it's good.
There's also the one that I still can't, that is driving me the most crazy, is just the lone number 12 with nothing around it. Is that Al Kolek? Is that Gianta? Is that Andre Savard? I don't know. Oof. Mark Mancari.
Well, these things are kind of grouped by eras.
Yes. But it's not really the only thing it's around is Eichel. So maybe, Gianta played with Eichel, but.
Is Gianta the.
Does he outrank Aleš Kotalík?
The Sabres 12, Kotalík. Kotalík get on here? Did he get mentioned?
I don't see Kotalík's name anywhere on here, no.
I liked him. He scored a bunch. How many goals did he score for the Sabres? I'm going to say 103. Do you think he scored 100 goals for them? Or is that too high? Is that too high? I think it's too high now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Could he have scored 100 goals for them?
Yeah.
114. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, now
see, I don't think I would have had him getting that close.
This is probably bad for me for work purposes because now I'm getting lost in here now too.
Yeah, I know. I know. The poster.
I just saw Crossroads Arena and Quinn.
Yes.
There, like that. That's Larry Quinn. I was like, okay, there's that. I don't see this smaller Seymour Knox you're referring to, Joe.
The very bottom right.
Okay.
Very bottom.
I'm glad to see.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Sabres at 40 gallery show made it.
Yes, Sabres 40 gallery show. I don't know what that was.
I like it. I'm telling you, I like it. I gotta have you know that I like this poster.
I think it's cool.
Yep. Yeah. We'll take a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
I think defense will still play over the top. I feel like we've been here long enough, and even, you know, with Stephon Diggs and the new guys, we're picking up the playbook pretty quick. So I think it wouldn't be a problem, you know, going into week one.
John Brown. We are less than 5 weeks to the opener. No preseason, of course. I think that'd be this week, if not last week. But like we'd be into the preseason here. We'd be talking about whether, you know, Fromm should play more than Barkley or some business like that this week, in this next upcoming game here. But, of course, not the case. Still, though, I mean, I think NFL is on track. The college football season, it sounded like, I don't know, I'm gullible, right? So when they say, okay, here's the Big Ten schedule. Ohio State and Michigan are going to play in October, so on. I don't think twice about it. Like, that's the schedule. Mm-hmm. We did it. And then now it's probably no Big Ten, no Pac-12, if not also others. And, crazy how some schools, like Nebraska is one, where they're talking about, well, we'll find somebody else to play. Just, it's, you know, almost off the rails, maybe. And we'll see what happens to, like, the draft. We talked to Matt Waldman about that, how players will adjust. I read one tweet that, like, Nick Saban commented on it and said something to the effect of, okay, no games, believe it or not, players are safer here than running around at home. And somebody tweeted about how this reporter's sources talking to administrators, they said, we're not sending the kids home. You know, we're going to have our school, right? Like if Alabama doesn't play, for instance, they would, the football players would be in school. And it's going to be different, maybe to different extents around, you know, school to school.
Some virtual learning maybe mixed into classroom, like with limited, you know, smaller class sizes or whatever. You know, just like everything else is, you know, people are trying to be adaptable. That's interesting. Like, they have a football coach that, like, nope, we should keep them here because they'll be safer. Well, yeah, they're enrolled in school, coach.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still, school is still happening.
Believe it or not, believe it or not, there are classes right. to attend.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Well, if they move NFL games to Saturdays to fill that void, if you will, great. Fine. Fantasy gets a little more challenging, but that would be I would welcome it. Saturday NFL.
Yeah, or even Friday. I saw some reference to the weekends, you know, even Fridays too, but I don't know if we'll get there, but yeah, I mean I have no objection to that. Like I don't need there to be, you know, 14 games or whatever every Sunday. You know?
This is better,
it's
right?
Fine. You want to move stuff around? I mean, that's all right with me.
More games to watch.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
sounds good to me.
I'm all right with that. Yeah, because we usually don't get to watch a lot of games at 1 o'clock on Sunday when the Bills are playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday. It's just that's the Bills and that's it. So sure, I'm up for that.
So we are, yes, less than 5 weeks away, Bills-Jets, if we get there. But I'm optimistic. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll take a break. 803-0550 is our number. We've got the NHL Draft Lottery, or the rest of it, tonight, coming up at 6 our time. So we'll be here for that to see if, you know, Toronto or Pittsburgh or even Edmonton win the lottery, right? One team that just got beat gets the number one pick, and everybody else goes to the end of the pack, and they all have even odds, so that could be interesting. And I'll tell you about the thing I did yesterday that I've not done in at least 10 years. You can make fun of me. That's what you want to do. You want to make fun of me. So stay tuned for that. First, a word for Colton RV. I've got a camping trip coming up. I'm super excited, especially this year. I mean, it kind of goes without saying, but while it's always rewarding and satisfying to get outside and take a trip like that, especially this year, all the stress. And it even feels safer to be outside. So I'm looking forward to that very much. And I have Colton RV to thank. If you have the bug, you get the bug for camping, these are the guys. Colton RV, North Tonawanda and Orchard Park. More than 50 years in the market. Known locally, of course, but also regionally, nationally. Customers from all over that they've built up in a half a century. And they've done that, you know, the right way. And you can count on and expect that sort of service, that sort of attention and expertise from Colton RV if you're to do that. Everything from travel trailers all the way up to the big motorhomes, lots of options in between. I'd recommend, if you're curious, visit them or visit ColtonRV.com and see what you might be able to make work. Because once you get out on the road and wherever, the lake, the woods, etc., you know you're going to love it. Colton RV, 50 years, 3 generations, 1 family.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.